Well, I'd like to extend a warm welcome to all visitors with us today. We hope you find our service spiritually moving, and I invite you to join us as we welcome Father Eric back from the Holy Land. I was there a number of years back, and I must tell you that the sights evoked a sense of reverence for Christ's majesty. It brought his humanness to the forefront of my mind and a deeper understanding of the stories we read in the Gospels. The churches in the Holy Land allowed me to withdraw from the chaos of our world and to find a sacred stillness so as to have inner peace. I find that same inner peace here and hope you will also. This is a place of prayer, of worship, and a celebration before God. It is a place for the weary, a place for healing for the wounded, a place of comfort for the grieving, and a source of hope for the forgotten. Now our first reading says, I will make you a light to the nations, that my salvation may reach to the ends of the earth, and through whom I show my glory. That whom is us. And that is a hefty charge, to be a light to the nations. We're supposed to show God's glory in our lives. We do that as we gather here to gain the grace to be the love of God to the weary, to the wounded, the grieving, and be hope for the lost. That is what our mission is, to live and love like Jesus, to be his disciples here on earth. Jesus tells us, his followers, how we are supposed to be the light to the world in the most startling and unambiguous way. He said, you, therefore, must be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. I know when you hear these words, one can understandably be discouraged. Indeed, left to our own resources, it's just impossible. It certainly seems to be. But with God, all things are possible. We can be transformed when we hold the correct perspective in life. When we hear the word perfect, we get fearful and think it's impossible. So let us stop and take a moment to see what being perfect means. It means to make something free from faults, or as close a condition as possible to perfect. Jesus would not tell us to do something we can't. He is asking us to change our interior view and gives us two examples on the right perspective to have to evolve into perfection. They both come from Matthew chapter 5. You have heard that it was said to your ancestors, you shall not kill. And whoever kills will be liable to judgment. But I say to you, whoever is angry with his brother will be liable to judgment. The other states, you have heard it was said, you shall not commit adultery. But I say to you, everyone who looks at a woman with lust already committed adultery with her in his heart. What we need to do is change our interior view of the world. I know that I'm not perfect, but I know I can work at being better each day, each hour, each minute. If we're going to grow into perfection, we must change the way we think and the desire of our hearts. It is our interior life and view of the world that must be brought into the right view of reality. You only begin to change your life when you begin to change the way you see. It is true, the imitation of God is the key to perfection. The doing of His will is the secret of survival and perfection in survival. Every day I thank God for His unspeakable gifts. I praise Him for His wonderful gifts of life. To me, He is the Almighty, the Creator, the power, and the mercy. But best of all, He is my spiritual Father. And as His earth child, I am going forth looking for Him. By searching for Him, I shall become like Him. It is not so much what our mind comprehends as what our mind desires to comprehend that ensures survival. It is not so much what our mind is like as what our mind is striving to be like that constitutes soul identification. It is not so much that we are conscious of God as that we yearn for God that results in our ascension. What we are today is not so important as what we are becoming day by day. Jesus revealed the divine love of our Father for us, His children. To everyone who loves the Lord supremely and their neighbor like themselves, God says, "I will redeem you from debt. I will be merciful and just to you and your children." Having discovered and received this divine affection, we can aspire to reveal this love to our brethren. When we demonstrate such affection, we are a true reflection of the love and glory of God. All true love is from God. And we receive that divine affection as we bestow this love upon our fellows. Love is dynamic. We can never take the love of the Father and imprison it within our own hearts. The Father's love can only become real to us by passing through our personality as we bestow this love upon our fellows. The great circuit of love is from the Father, through us, to our brothers and sisters. We each can get on this path of continuous improvement. That is why we gather here as a family of God, and we get our strength and faith from each other to be able to stand firm and be a light to humanity. We are a lot like the redwood trees on how we get this spiritual strength from each other. When I was in California, you never saw a redwood standing alone. It takes several of them to intertwine those shallow roots and remain standing. Redwoods are like us, I suppose. They find their strength in community as we do. Our spiritual roots are intertwined, and we go out to intertwine with all of humanity. We are strengthened by our shared interconnectedness in God and go forward doing God's will by loving our fellow man. Lord Jesus Christ, may we always stay connected to your body and always do our Father's will and show this love and glory to the world. We pray.